Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hi, this is Jeff Tate from Queensryche, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hey, this is Bumblefoot, and you're listening to the Talking Metal Podcast.
Yeah. Hey, everybody, what the hell's going on? This is Zach Wall from Black Label Society and the Ozzy Osbourne Band, and we're all doing a hang, throwing back some cold ones, and we're talking metal. Take it easy.
Hi, this is Ozzy Osbourne, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
This is Chris.
And Maria from In This Moment, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
This is Jeff Fab from In This Moment, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Rock, rock over London,
Zurich,
Auckland,
Dublin,
Dallas,
Milwaukee,
Los Angeles,
Sydney,
Indianapolis,
Tokyo,
Seattle,
Paris,
Budapest,
Berlin,
New York. Ladies and gentlemen, two men who are committed to rocking you wherever you might be, John Astronomy and Mark Striegel. Welcome to the Talking Metal Podcast, broadcasting around the world from TalkingMetal.com and Striegel'sMusicNews.com.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Talking Metal. We are coming to you from Bionic Studios, Midtown Manhattan. How you doing, Mark?
Good. How you doing, John?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm excited to hear the interview that you did with Jeff Fab of In This Moment, one of our favorite bands and a group that has been on Talking Metal a bunch of times.
Yeah, I hooked up with Jeff and the In This Moment gang down in New Jersey at the Starland Ballroom. Sayersville, is that the town?
Sayersville, yes. Where
Bon
Jovi is actually from.
Sayersville, New Jersey. And they were rocking it. I've seen a lot of good shows at that Starland Ballroom.
It's a cool place.
Through the years, yeah. Velvet Revolver I saw there, and Dokken, and Queensryche, a bunch of great bands. And it was great to see In This Moment rock it out on the stage down there, and they were playing with Mudvayne, and I think a couple other bands I can't remember. I actually could only stay for their set, and then I had to head home to the baby. But what a set it was. These guys always put on a great show, and the Starland Ballroom show was no exception. Great stuff from In This Moment. We will hear from Jeff Fab, their drummer, coming up shortly.
Excellent. And then I saw In This Moment a couple days later do an acoustic set with all band members present, and it was great. It was for a fashion show called Metal Couture, and I actually was wearing one of their shirts, the Metal Couture shirts, and did an interview for MTV2. We'll get into all that a little bit later.
Okay, cool. Cool. Want to hit some music and then come back and maybe read some letters and talk about the Talking Metal forums?
Definitely. Let's do it.
Here's some music by a band called Equilibrium. This is off the Sagas album. Check it out.
Come on.
That was Equilibrium. You can get it on iTunes. Check out our show notes for the link.
Yes, definitely. Some great pagan metal there. There is another episode of Talking Rock. We are really cranking these out, about two a year.
Yeah.
And it is up on TalkingRockPodcast.com and, of course, on iTunes. You can leave us a review in the Talking Rock section of iTunes. I think there's like one negative review up there. So do us a favor and leave us a positive review. And check out Talking Rock episode 4.
Yes,
which is misleading because it started out as Alien Rock, and then
we switched it to Talking Rock
for legal reasons.
Yeah, actually, we were going to switch it anyway.
Yeah,
and,
that's true.
What happened was
somebody threatened to sue us. And
but what was so funny about that is that I said, you don't remember that I'm the one that actually was working with you on this Alien Rock project, and you actually interviewed me for your book because you thought it was cool that I already had something going called Alien Rock, and then you were going to write a book called Alien Rock. So then what happens is 2 years later, that same person says, oh, by the way, how dare you steal my name? And I said, you don't remember, I'm the guy that was in your book that you were corresponding with. So that was pretty hilarious. But we were going to change it to Talking Rock anyway.
Which makes more sense. Yeah, Talking Metal, sister podcast, Talking Rock. And of course, you can read the Alien Rock book, which John is in. And they talk about one of his songs that he wrote with Captain T, a.k.a. Mark Striegel, called Disturbing Abduction.
Remember when that was a secret, like no one really knew?
Yeah, for a long time. Yeah. But
so the cat is out of the bag. Yeah. Hey, I have a couple of letters that I personally picked from the Talking Metal mailbox.
Yeah, go for one.
And I know you have some. Now, let me tell you guys, I saw Motley Crue a couple of nights ago at Madison Square Garden, which is one of the all-time greatest venues ever. I don't know if bands necessarily sound great in that venue, but they just, you know, are excited because they're playing New York City in one of the most famous arenas of all time, and this concert was no exception. I don't know, Mark, if just something's going wrong with me or what, but even before the band came out, I started crying. And I hope no one saw me. It was ridiculous. I was freaking out. It was unbelievable. It really was. I was calling people on the phone going, oh, my God, they're about to come out on stage. And it was really amazing when the band finally did come out, and they played several of my favorite Motley Crue songs. Wild Side, one of my favorite songs. Live Wire. They played Shout of Devil Third, which was kind
of
an interesting place.
Yeah,
for that
to do in the beginning into Shout of the Devil.
Yeah, and it was just out of control. And you know what I thought about it is I thought it was so cool that here's this band, you know, that tried something back in the early 80s, and they really have stood the test of time, and they are still rocking 20 years later.
Yeah, definitely. At least, maybe even,
yeah, maybe
more,
even
than
20. Yeah. When 82 to, what, I don't even know what year it is.
Yeah,
25 years later. Unbelievable. So anyway, check this out. I saw so many people at this gig that were Talking Metal fans, and it was just out of control. What happened was, and this is kind of a rare thing for Madison Square Garden, they had a general admission pit area. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah,
there?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And there was a group of people, literally at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, lined up already to get into that pit. And believe it or not, about 6 or 7 people left their space in line that they've been waiting in all morning since like 7 a.m. to come and get some photos with me, which was amazing.
Oh, cool.
And one of the Talking Metal Forum dudes, Mooch, was there.
Oh, yeah, right.
And
right.
We did some photos. And plus, a couple of people I ran into at the Ace Frehley concert were there. And it was really cool. Ran into just so many people. Was a guy from iTunes named Damon who we're going to do some work with who came up to me and just met so many people. People from Revolver, people from Roadrunner, people from a bunch of different magazines, and I had
a
blast.
It was a good show and a good network, networking experience for
Without a doubt. So listen to this letter. This is from Nicholas, and I like it. Check this out. It's like a little guy and there's like a little dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. You know,
on
talking,
his email. Huh?
Talking Metal are fans of dogs, so that's a fact. You know, we got Ozzy who's been on our show. Ozzy the dog, that is. Okay, so here's the letter from Nicholas. Yo, what's up, John? I was talking to you at Motley Crue's MSG show on the 16th. It was a great show. Hope you enjoyed it. I am 15 years old, and I wanted to let you know that I loved your show, Talking Metal. I think you guys are great guys. Write me back soon. P.S. Please go back on the air.
Cool.
Well, Nicholas, thank you very much for that letter, man, and I appreciate that you were a supporter of Talking Metal and that you want to see us back on TV soon, and we are going to do everything we can to make that happen.
Cool. Let's read another letter here and then maybe get into the interview with Jeff. Here's another letter from Scott. This came in a few days ago. What's up, fellow Kistins? Kistians?
It's like a new religion, like Kistian, Christianity.
K-I-S-S-T-I-A-N-S. I was a listener from the very beginning of the Talking Metal podcast, but I've taken a bit of a hiatus over the past few months. Hey, I understand that. You gotta give yourself
I think we've
break.
Taken a bit of a hiatus in the last couple of months, so you probably didn't miss anything.
But. Yeah, that's a good point. Anyway, it's great to be back as an active listener of the Talking Metal family. I just finished listening to the Richard Christie episode. It was a great listen. It was really cool hearing about his beginnings in music and his relationship with Chuck Schuldiner. Growing up in South Florida, I was well aware of Death and the impact they made on the metal scene. However, it wasn't until a couple years ago that I truly embraced the melodic death metal sounds of bands like At the Gates, Children of Bodom, Arch Enemy, Dark Tranquility, and a host of others. As I quickly got into all of the Norwegian bands, I also felt it was important to revisit death and the roots of the melodic death metal machine. Every time I hear musicians and fans talk about Chuck, one thing remains constant. They always say how humble and friendly he was. It's too bad I never had the opportunity to see him play live. But as Richard said on the podcast, he is still alive through his music, which I will continue to feed my ear hole for a long time to come. Again, it was great hearing Richard talk about Death and Iced Earth, both of which are truly amazing bands. Anyhow, I just wanted to drop you a line. I've been listening to a lot of Opeth lately, so I'm going to check out the podcast you had with them last year. Take it sleazy. I'll talk to you soon.
I love that.
Yeah, cool.
And
thanks,
that
Scott.
Guy's name, it says Yogurt.
Yeah, it's signed Yogurt.
I think his real name is Scott.
Scott.
So anyway, hey, Scott, thanks for that letter, man. It was very cool. You want to hear something funny? Mark and I, this is addressed to Yogurt. Mark and I go through this Talking Metal mailbox and pick out letters that we think are very cool, and both of us picked yours, so thanks for sending that in.
Cool. You want to get into the interview?
Yeah, why don't we get
into the
interview?
Then we'll come back and talk a little bit more.
Talk a little bit about In This Moment and maybe a couple of other things.
Cool. This is Forever by In This Moment. You can buy it on iTunes. And then we'll get right into the interview with Jeff Fab, drummer of In This Moment. Here at the Starland Ballroom in New Jersey. I got Jeff from In This Moment, and he's getting ready for a show tonight. Tell me about the tour. Who are you on tour with right now?
We're on tour with Mudvayne and Nonpoint, and it's just been awesome.
Cool. And Mud, have you toured with either one of these bands before?
No, we haven't. This is the first time, and it's just been great. The shows have been awesome. All the guys are cool. It's just been a great time.
Now, you guys tour with a wide range of different types of bands, from a band like Mudvayne all the way to people like, you know, Ozzy Osbourne, Megadeth. Who brings the, you know, when you're not headlining, who brings the crowd that appreciates what you're doing the most?
You know, that's hard to say because like, all these bands have fans that don't know about us. So I think all of them do. You know, not that all of them like us, but, you know, when we can grab, like, you know, 10 people, 20 people from each, you know, that are becoming This Moment fans, it's just awesome. So I think we benefit from all of these bands, from their fans.
And is there like a typical In This Moment fan that you're starting to recognize? Or, because for me, I've seen like young, like 10-year-old kids into you guys, but then I've also seen like 50-year-old like soccer moms also
right.
into your guys.
Right.
So is that what you're witnessing, or is it more the younger crowd that you're noticing at the gigs?
You know, it is a little bit of both. I think it's, you know, there is a lot of young kids, and then there's their parents that bring them and that are fans. So it's like... But yeah, a lot of our fans are young, are younger, you know, the younger generation.
Cool. Now, we had Chris on the podcast a couple months back, and Maria's done a ton of interviews where we hear about her backstory, and Chris shared a little bit about his past with us when he was on the podcast. I want to know about you, where you grew up, when you started to play drums, and when you got into music.
All right. Well, I am from Matituck, Long Island, which is... way out on the east end of Long Island, which is on the North Fork. So the South Fork is the Hamptons and whatnot. North Fork, Riverhead, you know, that area. So I'm from Matituck. I went to Matituck High School. I started playing drums when I was 11. That's when I got my first drum kit. And I studied with an instructor out there with my friends, and all of us had the same instructor. His name was Mark LaRosa. Awesome dude. He still gives lessons out there now. And just started taking lessons from him around the same time. Played in some hardcore bands on Long Island. I played in a band called Trip Face and did that. Then I was trying to get into other bands and stuff like that. For some reason, for me, it was hard. I couldn't really... I guess maybe it was the area I lived in. It's really, you know, it's suburbia. You know, it's really hard to find a gig right. in the middle of a farm field. So... when I was 19, you know, I moved to California, and when I, you know, when I got to California, you know, I had to go, you know, start all over again, pretty much. You know, I went through the music connection.
When you did you move out there specifically for music?
Yeah, I mean, I just didn't. I knew, you know, I wasn't going to pursue music if I stayed where I grew up, you know, and so I just had to. I just took off and. It's not like I was trying to, like, become a rock star or anything like that. I actually just wanted to change. I wanted to live somewhere else. I wanted to live in a city. I wanted the nice weather and stuff like that. My sister had already moved out there. So I kind of went out and visited her and then was like, hell yeah, I'll move out here. Just, you know, and then I met all these guys through playing. I played in other bands with Chris, and I played in one other band with Maria.
Really? Oh.
And so I've known them for a really long time. We all lived together. You've heard the story.
Are you the one who brought Maria, like, into the fold with Chris?
No. Chris brought Maria in.
Okay.
Actually, it's so funny. They were in a band. Chris and Maria were in a band with friends of mine. And I heard their demo, and I was like, holy cow, this girl can smoke, you know? And I honestly wanted to be in their band right when I heard that demo. It was kind of weird. I was just like, I am getting in this band somehow. My friend played drums in the band. So he ended up moving on to another band, and I took the gig, and we've been jamming with, you know, jamming ever since. That wasn't In This Moment. That was a different band, but it was Chris and Maria.
Right. Cool. And when you first started playing drums, like, what drummers drew you to the drum kit?
Man, everybody from Alex Van Halen to Tommy Lee, you know, of course, Neil Peart. I have so many influences, you know? Some technical, some totally not technical.
Right.
Phil Rude, one of my favorite drummers. Cool. You know what I mean? So... you know, that pretty much that era. I mean, I grew up in the 80s, so yeah. I was all about the, you know, Nico McBrain and, you know, Dave Lombardo. I was in it at all.
Cool. All right, so okay, let's talk about some of the gear that I've seen you endorsing. We'll start off with D-drum and then get into the Meinl cymbals.
Cool.
What is the D-drum? It looks like a big snare drum or something.
Well, no, they actually make all acoustic drums now. It was, D-drum was like mostly triggers and electronics, and then they started putting out acoustic drums, and I got hooked up with them when we were on tour with Megadeth. Sean Grover played them, and he was like, you know, oh, you know, if you like my drums, I could, you know, I can have the rep come down. He actually likes your band, and he was asking me what drums you played, and I wasn't endorsed at the time. So they came down and were awesome to me and gave me a drum kit right then. So I just started trying it out from there, and the service is so good, and they're so good to me that and the drums are just awesome. Their new line of drums that just came out is sick. I just got a new kit from them, and they're just awesome. I love the company. That's blowing up right now. They always had a bunch of good drummers on it, but I mean, everyone knows now that like Vinnie Paul is endorsed by them, and it's just blowing apart. So I feel fortunate to have been brought on earlier.
Cool.
You know, because maybe I wouldn't have been on there now. But, yeah, I'm stoked. I'm stoked to be on D-Drum.
Cool. And how about the cymbals?
Same thing. Meinl, Chris Brewer from Meinl is my rep. And he's a beautiful, beautiful metalhead friend of mine and friend of the band's. And he hooked us up, me, in this moment, earlier on. We didn't have a record deal. We had management at the time, but we didn't have a record deal, and he was so cool to me, and he hooked me up with an endorsement, and I've been with him ever since, going on a few years now, and just the same thing. I mean, you can't beat the professionalism of them and the availability, you know, like when you call, they'll, you know, these two, you know, Chris will answer my phone calls, get back to me, make sure I'm taken care of. He rules.
Cool. Now, In This Moment has a lot of Ozzy Osbourne connections. You guys, of course, are managed by Blasco. You toured on Ozfest. You opened up one of Ozzy's arena tours for him. Any good Ozzy stories you could share with the Talking Metal listeners?
Yeah. You know, when we first started that tour, I think we... Oh, yeah. Where was it? I believe it was Washington. We were all in the dressing room before the show. Boom. The door opens up. There's Ozzy Osbourne. He pumps his head in. Have a good show. We were all like, oh, my God. You know? Like, yeah. No way. We would see him through the hallways. He always had guards around him. And he always seemed like he wanted to hang out. But, like, the guards were like, no, 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 no. You can't. You know? They would just, like, kind of circle around him and walk him through the hall. And, you know, I mean, he's a rock star. So, yeah. It's like, you know, everybody wants to talk to him. But... he is one of the coolest dudes. Honestly, I didn't really get to meet him that much on that tour. But we just recently, you know, got to sit down with him again. Like, really sit down with him and talk to him. We were at his house.
Oh, wow.
And we were...
It's a different house than was on the show, right? Or is it...
You know what? I don't know, yeah. Honestly. But it's a beautiful house. We were down in his studio with our producer, which is also his producer. Mm. And we were sitting down there, and we were, you know, working on some things. And in comes Ozzy. First thing out of his mouth, I remember when Tony Iommi goes into this story about Tony Iommi and Black Sabbath, and me and Chris are just staring at each other like, are you serious? This is so awesome, you know?
The one thing, I've interviewed him 3 times now, and the one thing that I always find is he's the biggest star out there. And also one of the nicest. I mean, at least two of the 3 times we interviewed him, he wouldn't stop. His handlers were cutting him off, and he was like, no, no, and he kept talking, and it was like he was really...
He's got a lot of energy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's, like, really outgoing, too, isn't he? And just funny.
Yeah.
Just so funny. I couldn't stop laughing. Yeah, it was, like, such a pleasure. I mean, I can't believe I actually got to meet him, because he's, you know, I grew up listening to him, and it's... I'm definitely starstruck around Ozzy Osbourne, for sure.
Any other good rock star stories? People like Dave Mustaine or anybody?
Dave Mustaine, same thing. Awesome dude. You know, and a lot of people, you know, I mean, Dave Mustaine's intimidating. You know, he is. You know what I mean? He's intimidating. He's even when you look at him, he intimidates you, you know? So we didn't know what to expect. He was the nicest guy ever. I mean, he hung out with us. He talked to us. He... gave us advice about our band. You know, it was just so cool. The same thing. Grew up listening to Dave Mustaine, too. So, I, you know, that for me was humbling as well to meet him. But, yeah, he was such a cool dude. He really was. He took care of us. He was always, you know, he always wanted to just say hi and see how the tour was going and converse with you. And he was just cool. Just down to earth, man. Not what I didn't know what to expect, because you're just like, oh, God, should I look at Dave Mustaine? Should I say hi or not? I don't know what to do, you know? But he made it real comfortable, and he was cool.
Sweet. the album, of course, is The Dream. You guys did an amazing job on it. I mean, the songs, it is such a hooky record. Even in some ways more so, I think, than Beautiful Tragedy. The hooks are just there, and the song structures are amazing. Let's talk about the production of this, starting with songwriting. You guys never stop. You're either touring or you're recording. So I'm imagining a lot of the pre-production and the songwriting must have happened on the road.
On the road, yep, it did. When we were on the Ozzy tour, we started writing on the bus. That's how we did it. And we came up with a bunch of ideas, and then when we got off the tour...
And are you working on melodies with them, or are you pounding on a drum pad, or what's happening?
No. I mean, I can play guitar, too. Not that I have to, because these guys come up with great stuff or anything. You know, it's just everybody putting in their two cents, you know what I mean? Maybe a riff like that, I hear them play a riff, and then I heard them play a little riff earlier, maybe, you know, just as an example, I'm not saying this is what happened, and just be like, oh, well, maybe, you know, let's put that riff on the end of that riff and combine them and do this. You know, we all work together. Everybody lets, I mean, like, I let them tell me maybe this will sound better, like, as a, you know, as a rhythm track here, whatever. You know, whatever. We just, you know, we're open. So we feed off each other a lot, you know what I mean? So it's actually pretty cool, you know, because it is. Everyone's equal, and we all put in what we need to put in. You know,
cool,
take
and we will.
What we will from each other. Sorry, yeah, just again. And just take what we take from each other. You know,
very cool, and we will have links up in today's show notes where you can download that on iTunes. And I also suggest getting the CD because the artwork and stuff on the CD is really cool. Who worked on that with you?
Well, a lot of those ideas are Maria's, you know, and then she, you know, she brings them up to the band, thinks what we think, you know, and of course, like all the times, we're cool with what she comes up with because she's got a good vision. So, and then we have our the guy who does all our art at Century Media, and you know, he's amazing, you know, and we came up with, it's like kind of, I mean, obviously everyone sees it, it's kind of like an Alice in Wonderland-ish stream of consciousness kind of record. You kind of get that?
Totally, yeah, totally. So like, and I mean, you hear that in the music and in the artwork, so definitely. Now, kind of back to what I was saying earlier, the drive that you guys have, you just never stop. How do you keep the pace up? Is it tough? When you're deep into a tour, is it hard to know that we got still another 3 weeks of shows? And where does the drive come from?
I think it's just because we all wanted to do this so bad our whole lives that now that we're doing it, we just don't want it to end. And we see, when you start to see like more and more fans showing up, and you know, you're getting the gratification from it. You're seeing something happen, and I think it just gives you that drive. Like, I just want to keep going. I want to keep pushing. I want to keep, you know, I just want everyone to hear this record or my band, and I want to, you know, get more fans and stay on the road. It becomes kind of like a, I don't know, like an addiction, kind of, you know. And as far as being on the road all the time, yeah, sometimes you get kind of like maybe just like a little homesick or whatever like that. But you know what? I'll go home for 2 weeks, and I'm like, all right, I've had enough. I want to go back on the road, you know, because I just feel like I'm not doing anything.
Right.
You know, it's like I'm not, you know, it's just, it's so for me, and I know a lot, you know, the band too, it's just, it's, we love to be on the road. For Maria, on the other hand, it's a little harder for her because she's got a son, right. You know, yeah. So I understand when she gets a little bummed out and stuff when she can't see her son. So we try to let it, you know, we try to like make it in our touring schedule that she can be with her son for an amount of time, you know. And then we try to make it easier on her. But, you know, for us, we just want to keep pushing the record.
Is it hard? I mean, does he come out on the road ever with you guys?
Yeah, he comes out. And, like, we've known him forever, too. We've known him since he was a little baby, you know. So he's a great, great kid. And, you know, he's just, we love having him around. And he helps me a lot. He plays drums, so.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he's cool. He's cool. So, yeah, he's a good kid. And, he's actually going to come out on Warped Tour for a little bit of Warped Tour with us.
Oh, excellent, yeah. Excellent. So I know you got a show coming up in literally probably just a few minutes. So a couple last questions here. Tell me something that most people don't know about your band members. We'll start with maybe one thing that somebody doesn't know about Blake, Jesse, Maria, and Chris, each one individually.
All right.
We'll
start with Blake. That he likes. Blake likes barbecued sunflower seeds.
Nice. How about Jesse?
Jesse sleeps in his bunk all day, every day. He comes out of his bunk maybe twice a day. We see him, yeah. We barely ever see him.
Interesting. Chris?
Chris. Chris. Let's see. That for him, the beginning of this tour, he was wearing two different styles of Converse sneakers on his feet. No one noticed.
Really? Well, okay. And last but not least, Maria.
And Maria, well, everybody knows that she's like a hippie girl. So let's see. Maria cleans the whole bus on Mondays.
Really? That,
yeah.
Well, that's good for you guys. Yeah.
Came up with one. I was like, shit, what am I going to say? Right.
Cool. And everybody knows that nowadays bands just don't sell as much as they used to. And as much as the internet has helped a band like you guys, I would imagine that in certain ways with sales and stuff, it also may have hurt you. What is the best way for a Talking Metal listener to support you guys besides actually paying for your music? Is it the merchandise? Is it coming to shows?
Yeah, coming to shows. Going to shows and buying merch.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. Just going to shows in general helps. You know, I mean, buying merch, of course, it helps too. But, you know, just going out and going to shows. Because, I mean, that's what it's all about now. Anyone can download a record.
Right.
You know, so it's like the live show you can't download, so...
Right.
You know what I mean? But you can watch it on YouTube off somebody's camera phone sometime. But I mean, besides that, I think that's the real part of it. I think touring's the only way to do it right now. It's the only way to. I mean, thank God we didn't come up in the 80s,
yeah,
when you could sell 500,000 copies of your record, right, easily. You know?
I was reading some stats. Like, I mean, even like, I don't know if you remember Vinnie Vincent.
Yeah,
like his
of
first
course.
Solo record,
yeah,
sold like, you know, hundreds of thousands of copies,
yeah,
its first week.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, and
yeah,
he wasn't really that big.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. So the live show is, you know, it's how bands are surviving, I think.
Yeah, cool. And as far as the merchandise goes, where's the best place that the listeners can buy merchandise? Is it through the MySpace page?
Yeah, right off the MySpace page, and you know, all of our merchandise is, you know, all set up right there. So you can get it right off the MySpace in this moment.
Cool. Thanks, Jeff, and have a great show tonight. And if we could just get a Talking Metal ID, your name, your band, and you are listening to Talking Metal.
Absolutely. This is Jeff Fab from In This Moment, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
I'm Broken by In This Moment members and Talking Metal members.
Yeah, three of the members of In This Moment, Maria, Jeff, and Chris, played with John and I, and we recorded that great cover of Pantera. And you can check it out, the video version of that, on youtube.com/talkingmetal.
And you know what's pretty cool is that, and I told Maria this when I talked to her a couple of days after you did that interview with Jeff, is that the two In This Moment videos that we put up there, the uncut, this is what we're calling uncut version of I'm Broken, and also the Run to the Hills single camera shoot, are two of the most watched and most commented on videos on our YouTube page. I mean, they're skyrocketing over everything else.
Cool. Cool. Well, big thanks to In This Moment and to Jeff and his wonderful fiance. I was hanging out with them at the show down in New Jersey a few weeks back, and we appreciate the opportunity that he gave us to interview him. We actually sat in my car and did that interview.
Oh, that's great.
Because it was a little noisy on their tour bus, so we went out and afterwards then we went on the bus and hung out for a few minutes before Jeff and the band had to go on stage.
We got to hook up with them. Yeah, we got to hook up with those guys, you know, just on a non-concert day sometime in New York to hang out.
Sure, definitely. Definitely. So thanks a lot to In This Moment. Make sure you support them. Go and buy the new album on iTunes. We will have it linked through today's show notes on talkingmetal.com. Wanted to mention the movie, The Wrestler. John and I both caught this movie within the last month or two,
yeah.
And what a great movie. I really enjoyed it. It was shot in New Jersey and had some great classic pop metal, if you will, from the 80s on the soundtrack, including what I thought was Rat, but John actually corrected
yes.
me. Tell us, the two Rat songs that you hear in the Wrestler movie aren't Rat. Is that true?
That is correct. Even though on iTunes, I believe it says that it is Rat, or somewhere online I saw it said it's Rat, but it's not. It's a group called Rat Attack, which is Stephen Piercy, George Lynch, and Tracy Guns.
Huh. Maybe they re-recorded it or something, or it was cheaper for them to buy the sound recording rights for those
right.
versions of the song, and that's somehow when you're in TV and film, you got to clear not only the publishing, but you have to clear the sound recording rights.
Right.
So maybe it was cheaper for them to go that route.
Yeah, there's something called synchronization rights, and that's when you have video and audio together. You want to hear something really cool? All of our Talking Metal GNR people will appreciate this. You heard Sweet Child of Mine. I believe it was at the end of the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And Axl gave that song to them for free.
Yeah, very
which
cool.
Which was amazing.
Axl to do that.
Now, I love that movie for a bunch of reasons, and Mark knows some of them. I just think it was unbelievable. I mean, I think Mickey Rourke was so cool. I think we definitely got to really work on getting him on Talking Metal, and I bet we could do it.
That'd be fun. I'd love to start getting people like him, like Lance Armstrong, who is like the world's biggest Iron Maiden fan. You know, like people outside of the metal community to come in and talk about how much they like metal. I think
right.
that would be an interesting thing to do. I just flew back from Israel and watched like every episode of Metalocalypse, cartoon with Deathlok. I always don't know if I'm saying that.
Yeah, I one time it took us like 5 minutes to try to say that word.
Metalocalypse. Yeah.
Metalocalypse. Yeah.
What a great cartoon. And if you haven't seen that, definitely go pick up the DVD box set for season one, which I believe one of our listeners sent me.
I think he bought it.
I think Jason... Jayhawk sent that in.
I remember when he sent that in.
Thanks to Jayhawk for that. Yeah, so I was over in Israel. Last night I was actually at the UN at a Battlestar Galactica function, which was pretty crazy. So it's been a busy time, and I apologize that we haven't had more podcasts up for you guys. Again, there is a new Talking Rock episode up if you're interested in that. John and I are hanging out on the TalkingMetalForums.com, talking with all you great people. There is a new way to get onto the forums. If you're not a registered user and you haven't been on the forums, now's the time. We want the real, true Talking Metal listeners to join us on the forums, not people who could give a rat's ass about us and are just looking for somewhere to hang out. We want you people who are listening to this right now to join us on the Talking Metal forums. There is a password that you need. It'll ask you for a password when you register. That password is the first name of the vocalist who performed South of Heaven with John and I. So you need his name, his first name, to register. That is the password for TalkingMetalForums.com, which are now just celebrated recently their two-year anniversary, 2 years old, the Talking Metal Forums.
You want to hear something pretty amazing? Last year, 2008, and this is not TalkingMetal.com. TalkingMetal.com had 25 million hits, the entire website. But the forums alone had 2.5 million hits.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah,
like people are all over the forums, and we appreciate that, and thank you guys.
There is some great sections on the forums. You can ask the host stuff. Like right here, Z-Man just posted a question. It says, who are some of the upcoming guests that you will be interviewing or have interviewed already? So actually, no one. Right?
And, well, Sacred Oath.
Sacred Oath will be coming on the podcast. We had Rob on, so he will be coming on soon. That is recorded. I think that's the only one we have in the can right now. Metal Mike, we're going to go over to his house, I think, next week and hang out.
Right.
Probably do an interview. We'll probably drink some beer, hang out with Metal Mike. I'm trying to think who... Duff McKagan, we've been told we're going to get him, but that hasn't happened yet. Yeah. Hopefully it will.
You know, we go through cycles. Sometimes we have like 10 interviews done, and you know, it takes us 2 months to get them up. And then right now, as Mark said, we're just we got so much stuff going on, a lot of stuff that we can't talk about just yet, but we have a lot of exciting Talking Metal things happening. And then, of course, both of us have jobs, and we do a ton of different things, and Mark has a family, and so we're pretty jammed up, but... don't worry, guys. We will continue to bring you guys super cool Talking Metal content. Yes. By the way, did you see there was a guy that said Talking Rock Forums?
Yeah, he wanted a Talking Rock Forums. Yeah. I don't think we do enough with Talking Rock just yet for there to be a forum devoted to it. But you're welcome to open it. One thing you guys should know, the forums aren't actually even run by John and I. They are run by Exciter and Z-Man and Shotaholic and some of the real hardcore Talking Metal listeners actually run the forums. John, a.k.a. Exciter, set up the forums, and it's really his baby, and he's doing a great job with it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Exciter. And guys, you know the clue to get the password to get onto the forums, so go do that and join us, and let's talk some metal on the Talking Metal forums. Here's another posting off the forums. I was just wondering if you guys would ever consider getting Static X on the show. They're coming out with a new album, Cult of Static, so there would probably be plenty to talk about. It doesn't matter if you get all of them or just one of them, like Wayne or something, but that'd be sweet. Just a suggestion. Met Alex posted that. Alex, sure, I'm not like a hardcore Static X guy. I do have a couple of their songs on my iPod, and they sound all right. But I would definitely consider them, sure.
I saw Wayne Static backstage at a Ozfest, I think, once.
Oh, yeah? Okay, yeah. Cool.
It's pretty cool. But, hey, I had some stuff that I wanted to just briefly mention.
Yeah, go ahead.
Since we're talking about the internet and people who post things. I love the internet. I think it's a great place, and I love the fact that, you know, we have people on our forums posting away. What I think is a little nutty, and I've never, you know, really addressed this, but are some of the comments that I see people leave just about random things online. And the thing that I just can't get over are the people that want to talk about cover songs. And, you know, we've had a few, you know, heck, we're not bothered by negative comments, but if they're a truly, like, critical comment, that's one thing. But what I think is hilarious, and I'm not sure what the people are thinking or what's going wrong in their brain, but when they think that we're defacing a song because we covered it, or we're trying to outdo the original. And that's not why we do these covers on Talking Metal. We do them to celebrate how cool the song was. And if you like it, great. If you hate it, you know, that's cool
don't
too.
Listen to it.
Yeah, just don't
it's
listen
easy,
to it. But don't
just,
listen to yeah, just stop listening yeah. to it. And don't write.
Don't torture yourself.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know,
don't.
If, it,
don't
if
do
you
it.
Hate it that much, you don't have to listen to it.
We're not forcing you. And by the way, guys, we're giving this stuff to you for free, okay? So if I see one more of these comments that are like, you know, I hate the guy with the freaking Dean. And, you know, believe it or not, I wasn't even playing a Dean. I was playing a Gibson with a split V headstock. But, you know, of course, these posters are geniuses and, you know, have to write stuff like that. And I just think it's funny. Like I said, yeah, you don't like it, don't watch it, don't listen to it.
Yeah, exactly. Good point.
Anyway,
good point.
That's
and
that.
Reminds me of something. MetalSucks.net is a very cool website, which I've been visiting a lot. And they have actually written a lot of positive, well, not a lot, a few positive things about Talking Metal over the course of the past few years, and a couple negative things about Talking Metal. They actually probably balance out some negative and positive comments on metalsucks.net about Talking Metal. But it's just a great site. These guys are a little sarcastic. They're funny. They have postings that go up all day, every day. And they actually commented that they didn't like our Run to the Hills cover within this moment, but which is okay. But then they also commented that you know, it's a shame that there aren't more episodes of Talking Metal going on TV right now. So it's definitely a good site that is a blog roll type of site that offers opinion and will give you a good smile and laugh while you're reading it. So I recommend MetalSucks.net. Add it to your favorites. And also wanted to mention, there was a robbery on 48th Street where all the guitar stores are here in Manhattan. Mark Morton, Lamb of God, his signature guitar was for sale. And I went back in. I was looking at it. And I went back in to actually try it because I'm thinking of buying one. And the guy told me, oh, no, somebody stole that. And I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, they came in, they stuck it in a bag, and they ran out. And the Sam Ash, it was Manny's, actually. Manny's Those guys were chasing him down the street. They didn't catch him. He got away. And, you know, that's probably like about a $1,000 guitar.
Right.
They have guitars in Manny's that are like $15,000. Right. I mean, if I was going to steal a guitar, I probably would have went for one of the more expensive ones. But he wanted that Mark Morton Jackson.
It's hilarious because right in the front of Manny's, and I'm not advocating anybody to go in and rob the place because I love that store, but and plus that's illegal. But anyway, there are a bunch of like high-end Gibsons, like custom shop Les Pauls with like unbelievable burst finishes right up front. So, you know, instead of walking to the back of the store, putting the $1,000 Jackson, which is a great guitar, but like I said, you know, much less expensive than the high-end Gibsons out front. I mean, to think that somebody would just, you know, they must have been such a Mark Morton fan that they just had to have it, and they snuck out. Now, I can't believe anybody would have the guts to walk into Manny's and swipe a guitar. Somebody did that with a Paul Stanley cracked mirror Washburn PS2000. It was like
really?
A $10,000 guitar, and they apparently walked in there. They must have had a long jacket. They didn't even put it in the bag. They just pulled it off the wall, put it under their coat, and walked out. This was about 2002. And, you know, what a crazy thing. Poor Manny's. They get two guitars stolen, like, that we know of. And
yeah.
What a thing.
Speaking of Mark from Lamb of God, they have a new record out, which I'm enjoying. Wrath, it's called. The guys on Metal Sucks .net didn't like it. They gave it a negative review, but it's a good listen. I recommend it. It is on iTunes. You guys should check it out. Still have a bunch of letters here, but I think we're out of time. I'll save some of these for the,
I got
the
one
next
too.
Podcast. You want to read one more, and then we'll get out of here?
Yeah.
Go for it.
This is a pretty interesting one because it has to do with the article that your brother wrote.
Okay.
About Kiss. It says, Mark and John, I wanted to make a quick comment regarding Mike's article.
Yeah, he says Mark's article,
yeah.
Right? Yeah,
he really means Mike's. Yeah. Yeah.
My brother wrote that, not me. It's a good read about Kiss in the news section on TalkingMetal.com.
So it says, I wanted to make a quick comment regarding Mike's article regarding Kiss of today versus Kiss of the 70s and 80s. I have to tell you, I struggle with the same things you do. Ever since I was about 5, I grew up with many heroes. The three at the top were Gene Simmons, the Demon, James T. Kirk, and my dad. And I think it's pretty cool that that this guy includes his dad in that list.
And Kirk, too. Shatner,
and Kirk,
man.
Yeah, no doubt.
If you haven't read Shatner's books, Star Trek Memories, definitely check those out.
By the way,
stuff.
I know this is like totally not metal, but I think he's got a really great hairpiece. I mean, it really looks
system,
real.
Yeah.
It's like a system.
Yeah.
It looks great, man. Anyway.
It could be implants at this
maybe
point.
Oh, maybe it could be.
It almost looks too good for transplant.
Yeah. There are not a lot of cooler people than those guys. There's no denying that Kiss, the brand, has become more important than Kiss, the music, attitude, etc. Gene has led the charge, of course. It's hard to deal with this for sure. Sharon has done the same thing to Ozzy, in my opinion. Of course, Ozzy would most likely not be with us if not for her. But the Ozzy I idolized left us a while ago as well. I do not begrudge anyone for making a lot of money, but these heroes are not what they used to be. I like your approach and attitude and share it with you. Gene Simmons, the guy on the Destroyer album cover, will never stop rocking and remains a hero, separate from his character today. Same with Ozzy. Legends never die. And then he says, go check out the new creator video. You will love it. And that is from Parker from Denver, Colorado. And he says, rock on. And Parker, we thank you for your letter. And Mike's article was a great article. And we thank your brother, Mike, for
To write more. So hopefully he'll be a contributing writer to TalkingMetal.com, Mike Striegel. He's not a total metalhead. He's more like a hard rock guy, likes Kiss, Alice Cooper, and bands like that. But he loves he's like super duper into Metallica too. Van Halen, he's a big Van Halen fan.
Your brother did a classic appearance at some of our older gigs.
Yeah,
back
he used
in the day.
To actually was a member of some band, of our older bands.
Yeah.
And
his nickname is the Mad Doctor.
Yeah,
are we allowed
always,
to expose that?
Yeah sure. Okay. And would always jump up on stage with us even when he wasn't an official member. So
yeah, that was great.
Yeah, cool. Anyways, I think we should wrap it up. It's a long show today, but I'd like to end with some Armored Saint, Last
Very
Train
cool.
Home.
Yeah, I like this, Armored Saint.
Yeah, you can buy this track on iTunes, Last Train Home by Armored Saint. Thank you for joining us on Talking Metal, and make sure you join us on the forums. Use that password secret code to get on there. It is, again, the first name of the singer who sang or screamed South of Heaven with us.
And it ends with an N.
Yeah, begins with a B. And you can check that performance out on youtube.com/talkingmetal. Subscribe to our YouTube channel.
And visit us at www.talkingmetal.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Right now, here is Armored Saint.
For me.